We're so glad you could join us this morning. Make yourselves comfy. Find a good spot to sit. Make sure you've got your coffee warmed up. We're so glad you're here. Started around 4 or 5 minutes after the hour, so you'll have a few minutes to settle yourself and you are welcome to put in the toys into the chat. Now's a good time, especially for things that are a little something that you don't need a candle lit for later on. Welcome. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you're here.
Morning, John.
Hi, John. Hi, Kathleen. Dennis, Nancy.
Morning.
Good morning. Hi, Lois.
Morning, Julie.
Morning.
Kathleen.
Away.
Hey Nancy and Judy. Katie. Hey Lois.
Hi. Still trying to get organized here. Not giving me the ability yet to get everybody on screen.
Hi, Ken.
Good morning, Ken.
Got our second vaccine today, and it was terrific. No side effects.
Good morning,
you got
Wilder.
It today.
Hi, Delbert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Wonderful to see everybody. Hi, Pam.
Hi, May.
Hi, Wilder.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Yeah.
I want to see you. I can't.
Kathleen and Barry, can
yeah.
How's everyone today?
Good.
Good.
Dan and it's Katie, Tom Miller, Stephen Sherrill.
Hi, Mary Jackson.
Hi, Stephen.
Usually there's a thing right
here. Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
And it's not there now.
Welcome back.
It's right under the, should be the bell.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, Lions.
Hi, Nate. Hi, Piper and Owen. Hi, Sophia.
You're going to let me scroll.
Oh,
Bowman. Hi,
Faith.
I can't get in.
Lots of friends
here. I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody. Okay. Let me get my setup right here. Good morning. So glad you are here. During the month of February, as we honor Black History Month, for our readings, we'll name by ethnicity the authors, the writers who are Black. This morning, the words calling us into worship come from the Reverend Fulgence Naji Jemana, who is a Unitarian Universalist minister who founded the Unitarian Church in Burundi. And after being imprisoned there for suspected support of opposition parties, he then fled the country to Canada during that recent political unrest there. He now has a community ministry and is a community minister connected to the UU Church in Saskatchewan, and in his community ministry, he helps political refugees. When strangers meet, endless possibilities emerge.
Each is called to serve something larger than the self.
Today, this morning, let's light the chalice.
For openness.
For willingness to grow.
For rich curiosity.
And for common purpose, let us worship together. We acknowledge that the land we gather on as a congregation where we live, work, and play was not freely given to us. We are gathered on the ancestral land of the Nuchu, Apache, Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné nations. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. As these words are spoken and heard, the ties nations have to their ancestral homelands are
renewed, and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to the Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris, Minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. I'm so grateful to be creating community with you today, a congregation of beautiful, caring, and justice-striving people. We gather virtually, and as we do, we keep each other safe. I believe it is a balm being together, responding to the world's brokenness with our liberal religious values of love and justice. Unitarian Universalists gather in the spirit of covenant with radical roots and a history as self-motivated spiritual people. We think for ourselves and recognize that life experience influences our beliefs more than anything. If you are new here, we welcome you. Our communications coordinator, Shannon Beaver, would love to greet you personally. So let her know if you would like to be added to our e-newsletter list. You are welcome to join us after the service for our informal small group virtual fellowship time. You can come and go as you'd like. Today is Share the Plate Sunday, meaning that our collections all go to carefully considered local organizations, with this month's recipient being shared between Manna Soup Kitchen, Durango Food Bank, and Fort Lewis College's Grubhub. Today, Ann Morse from Manna will tell us a bit about what's going on there. Ann?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Since 1986, the mission of Manna is to provide, in the spirit of faith and love, nourishing meals and supportive services in an atmosphere of acceptance and caring for those in need. Since the pandemic happened, since March of 2020, La Plata County has experienced a 2 to 4-fold increase in food insecurity. Through this, a lot of the partnering organizations that we work with have banded together to really work towards making sure that everybody in need has been fed. To do this, we've been working with Comp Narrows, Good Collective, Pine River Shares, Durango Food Bank, La Plata Family Coalition Center, the Grubhub, and many more organizations working together to ensure that we've been able to serve these daily meals and also food distributions to anyone in need. To let you know kind of how our numbers have been, in 2019, we served 56,000 daily meals. In 2020, we served 96,000 meals. Since March 18th, we've adapted our operations to do grab-and-go style meals out our back door. And this has really actually helped us increase the populations that we can serve, as you can see by the numbers. And then we've been working with other partner organizations to get those daily meals to them as well. For instance, every week, La Plata Family Coalition Center comes and they pick up 100-plus meals to take to those that they provide assistance for. We've also been doing like bulk grocery deliveries and emergency food boxes. In 2019, we distributed 43,000 pounds of food. In 2020, we distributed 138,000 pounds of food. This is only through the work of us partnering with other organizations to get that food out to those in need. In 2019, our take-home backpack program, which feeds food insecure students, we served 6,400 backpacks. In 2020, we did 9,400 backpacks. This is in partnership with Durango 9R School District, the Boys and Girls Club of the Southern Utes, and also Fort Lewis College. It's just been really, I think, a group effort working with a lot of different partner organizations, and then with the support of the community, that we've been able to really ensure that anyone in need is able to get a meal or to get food. And so I just wanted to thank everybody here in the community for, you know, supporting us in these actions. And we're just really grateful of everybody working together in such a trying time to really ensure that everybody in need is getting what they want and what they deserve to have. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you for being here with us today and helping us learn more. And later in the service, we'll give you more specific instructions as to how you can give so that your money will go towards helping MANA and other food agencies in Durango and La Plata County. Because I can't hang them on the wall in Bowman Hall, I wanted just to share some cards we've received recently. The first one right here that I just think is really darling, but it's got all this lovely writing inside. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. Oh, golly, I am going to. It is signed, A Neighbor, okay? Hello, I live in your neighborhood and have appreciated the beacon of life, light, your tree, our big pine tree. The beacon of light your tree has been all year. I wanted to thank you for that and your sign inviting folks to join you on Zoom for your Christmas Eve service. I enjoyed the feeling of connection and the quiet sacredness to which you gave the service. Thank you for the time of special beauty you gave to my Christmas Eve. How about that, huh? And that would have been put on our wall. We have another one that I wanted to share with you. And this one is a thank you that came from the fellowship in Ashland, Oregon, where there were so many fires recently, and our social justice team was able to make the decision to send disaster relief funds to them. And so we received a lovely thank you from all the people in that congregation with their gratitude. So I wanted to make you aware of those things. Leading our service with me today is our worship team. Tom Miller is our worship associate. Sarah Sauter, our interim director of faith formation, is our storyteller. And Shannon Beaver and Cheryl Guy are greeters for us today. James Mirabal leads our technical support and has assistance from Dennis McClure. Our musician today is Lawrence Nass, and Elizabeth Crawford will lead our hymn today. We define worship as shaping things of worth. By so doing, we create community, providing opportunities for transformation.
This morning, as we light our chalice, I'll speak and lead the affirmation. Feel free to light a chalice of your own wherever you are, and we'll continue the practice of speaking our affirmation while staying muted, which allows everyone to acknowledge the peace of these sacred words. We invite you to feel what it's like to focus on our affirmation in this way, a way that calls us to be present, not just with words, but also deeply with the spirit of the covenant that calls us to be present with each other. The words are in the chat box if you need them. And we hope you'll also say the words aloud at home so that you can hear your voice as well as mine. Please check to see that you're muted. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes, do we unite in worship.
And now I invite you to make sure that your screen is set to gallery view. So if you go over to the top right where it says view, you can click on that, change it to gallery so that you can see everyone who's present. And now, with an attitude of reverence and hospitality, you may open your microphone and let us offer a greeting of peace and welcome to those making up our congregation today. Peace be with you.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all.
Good morning.
Good
morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody.
Hey, I love it. And peace be with you too. We share our joys and sorrows in a ritual of candlelighting in community. This is a good time now to switch your screen back to speaker view. Just go back to the corner, change to speaker. And if you are so moved, I invite you to offer a joy or a sorrow of a personal nature, and I will light a candle for you. Type your name in the chat so we can identify you, and please offer just a phrase or two, being mindful of others. And I'm going to begin today offering a candle of sorrow. And my sorrow is for the more than 462,000 souls who have died as a result of COVID. May we light this candle.
I think we can start with Terry with a concern.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. I have a concern. A friend of mine, Sean Colody, who is the lead chef at Manic Kitchen's house, burned down on Friday. And I'm just devastated because he's such a kind man and he's given so much to this community. If you're, please hold him in your hearts as he goes through this time. He lost all his possessions. He is fine. His dog is fine. And if you want to learn more, we have a GoFundMe site for him to get rent for his for an apartment and things like that. I'm going to put my email in the chat line if you want more information, but please just hold Shannon in your hearts.
We light this candle.
Kathy D is next.
Yes, I have two joys. First joy is Barry and I both got our second Moderna vaccine yesterday, and we both feel terrific, so don't worry anybody. And number two, at the 100 Women Who Care meeting, which is a triannual meeting, it was last Thursday, my nominee, the food bank, was one of the three selected. We taped our presentations and the group voted, and the food bank won all the money that night. So I couldn't be more thrilled about that.
We light this candle.
Steve F.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to, in the spirit of the Super Bowl being today, as well as in the spirit of love being the doctrine of this church, I wanted to just light a candle of joy for Russell Wilson. He won the Walter Payton Man of the Year award yesterday. And if you happen to check out his speech, it was really, really moving for me. And I think it might be for some of you as well, as far as just leading with a spirit of love and to be able to help others, which really reminded me a lot of our community. So, candle of joy.
We light this candle.
Anna R.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to light a candle of gratitude for our Healing Racism team and our White Fragility book discussion group. We have another meeting this afternoon, and I'm just really appreciative of all of us who've been meeting month after month and diving deep into self-awareness and reflection and learning. So thank you.
We light this candle.
Bill and Elizabeth are next.
I'd like to light a candle of joy for my great hometown of Tampa, and also concerned that they don't have a super spreader event there.
We light this candle.
And I'd like to express two joys. One is I also got the vaccine, my second, which is wonderful. Running a little fever, but otherwise wonderful. And I want to express my joy and gratitude to Judy Hayes for the painting lessons that I'm doing with her, which has been just incredible.
We light this candle.
Teresa, you're next. Teresa, can you unmute?
There we go. I have a concern for a friend, a longtime friend who had a stroke last Tuesday and is in hospital now. She seems to have lost her language production skills. And so we're hoping for recovery of some of that through rehab. Her name is Marty Overmeyer. She lives in North Georgia. So
we light this candle.
Catherine B.
Yes, I have a concern. I was reminded about Super Bowl Sunday. While it's not true that this is the most dangerous day for domestic violence in the year, there is a high increase in calls to shelters and hotlines and such over this time, which is very charged and emotional for a lot of people, some of whom have difficulty controlling themselves. I'd like to ask for more awareness in this area and for this to change for our country.
We light this candle.
Susie.
I wanted a candle of concern for our friend Dwayne Carr. He was a UU in Grand Junction, and passed away from COVID. And last week we went to a virtual memorial service. And actually, I have a concern because there was about a third of those people there that had either suffered from COVID or had it then. So my prayers go out to them for sure.
We light this candle.
Becca, Nate, and Beatrice are next.
Hi, Beatrice wanted me to share a joy that we just got back from a mini family ski vacation to Monarch, which was super fun. And also, I'm really grateful that as of next week, as a childcare provider, I will be eligible to get my COVID vaccine.
We light this candle.
Suzanne A.
I have a concern. A woman I know not really well, but her name is Annie Gowan, has just been present at the death of her son who died of alcoholism, and 20 years ago her other son suicided. So it's a really rough time for Annie Gowan.
We light this candle.
I'm not seeing anyone else in the chat line. So I think that's it. Katie, that's good.
Let this candle symbolize all of those joys, but probably sorrows that remain unspoken, and also serve as a reminder of all of the candles just lit. May we hold all of these good thoughts and these good people in our hearts as we go about our day and our week. Continuing now in prayer and meditation, this morning, the words come from longtime UU parish minister, a colleague of mine I met back in the mid-90s, the Reverend Om Prakash, also known as John Gilmore, who is now a life coach and wellness consultant. John comes from a multicultural family of Cree, Cherokee, and African American roots. Om Prakash's theological groundedness is based on creation spirituality, Hinduism, and neo-paganism. This reading that will serve as our meditation for this morning comes from the Skinner House publication, Voices from the Margins. That book is available at the UUA bookstore called In Spirit. You can simply Google UUA bookstore.org. His writing frames God in a mystical way. So let us listen to the words in an attitude of meditative silence. In the late hours when snow falls, gently covering the broken ground, the world is smooth when snow falls gently. I see your face chasing away the bitter cold. Hold me close, rock me in your loving arms. Sing lullabies that help me remember. Teach me to turn back to my snow-driven self, dancing in the rapture of my first breath, singing to the sound of music and arts, moving to the poetry of rhythm in motion that fills my heart every time I think of you, my beloved one. Then I remember I don't need to return. I never left. You and I are one, dancing in silky smoothness, beating back the cold with the rhythm of our dance steps, filling the world with laughter as the cold winds blow and our hearts, like burning embers, become the warmth of the sun carried on the winds. Let us hold silence for a moment. Blessed be. Amen. Amen. Ashe.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself, then make a change. Na 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 na. Been a victim of a selfish kind of love. It's time that I realize there are some with no home, not a nickel to loan. Could it be really me pretending that they're not alone? A willow deeply scarred, somebody's broken heart in a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of the wind, you see, 'cause they got no place to be. That's why I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. You gotta get it right while you got the time. 'Cause when you close your heart, you close your mind. Oh, you know you do. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Oh, I'm asking him to change his ways.
It's almost like, what? Oh, but someone's tried to send me something in the chat. I can't deal with it right now. As most of you know, today is the first Sunday of the month. So what? No. So let's take a moment to introduce our new monthly theme, Beloved Community. Now, I suspect that most of you know what community is, but what exactly is Beloved Community? Well, I need a few volunteers today to help me illustrate that answer. By being human mirrors. It's almost like we planned this, Lawrence. I invite children and those feeling childlike to volunteer. I need 8 volunteers. I know you're out there. Sophie, Nate, Wilder, Piper, Owen, Grace, and the rest of you feeling childlike, I'd like you to raise your little blue hand in Zoom by moving to the participants screen and clicking on the small blue hand at the bottom of the list of participants. Or alternately, you can just raise your actual hand. So I'm looking for hands here. I'm going to put you in. Oh, there's one. We need more. Come on. I know you're out there. All you have to do is be a human mirror. So let me explain what that is. All you have to do is say your name, unmute when I call on you, and say, Sarah, you have something on your face. And then after you do that, I'm going to respond to what you've told me. And then it will be someone else's turn. Okay, who's in? Oh, there's 2. Come on, come on, come on. We need more. I know there's people out there that want to play this morning. Come on. Let's see your little blue hands. All right, Sophia. Okay, let's start with you, Sophia. Go ahead and unmute and don't forget your line. There's something on your face, Sarah.
There's something on your face, Sarah.
No, I don't have anything on my face. Okay, who's next? Nate, go ahead and unmute.
Sarah, you have something on your face.
What are you talking about? You're wrong. I'm not going to listen to you. Okay, who's next? Grace?
Sarah, you have something on your face.
Funny you should say that, because you are the one that has something on your face. Who's next? You're going to have to wave those hands because I can't see it.
I'll go next. I'll go next.
Okay, please do.
Sarah, you have something on your face.
You must be joking. I am an expert face washer, and I have studied face washing for years. Okay, who's next? Wilder?
You have something on your face, Sarah.
Dare you tell me I have something on my face? I am out of here. Okay, who's next?
Miss Sarah.
Yes?
I hate to tell you this, but there's a black mark on your face.
What? You're wrong. And just one more. Pat. Just one more, folks.
Sarah,
you have something on your face.
My face? Oh, thank you for telling me. I've been washing away at it bit by bit, but I guess it's stickier than I thought. I really appreciate you letting me know. By the way, you were all great human mirrors.
Sarah, so, do one more for Iris.
Do one more for Iris?
Yeah.
Iris, please.
You have something on your face.
Everybody has something on their face, so why mention it? There's nothing we can do about it. It's always got to be this way. So now let us take a moment to reflect. Do you see what I did there? Let's think about being in community together and what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. So which response do you think was the best one? Volunteers, just go ahead and open your mic and answer, kiddos.
Second to last, when you were just like, you're right, I have something on my face. Thanks for telling me.
Awesome, awesome. That's right.
That the second to last was my favorite because, like, even though every other person kept saying that, but then for the second to last, you finally admitted it.
Absolutely. When we're building community together, it's important to listen to what other people have to say, even if we might not want to hear it, or even if it might hurt us a little bit. But we do that because it's part of our covenant, our promise to each other and how we're going to be together. There are times when we need to hear feedback that doesn't feel good or maybe even makes us mad. But when we actually hear it with curiosity, humility, and most importantly, trust, that's, my friends, how we build beloved community. So join me now as we move into our faith formation classes. Just click on the link in the chat box. And I'm sure that some of you can tell that these kids rock and they're getting ready to present a play to you later in the spring. So you can tell they're great actors. Join me, kids. I'll see you in a moment.
Unmute, Lawrence. Lawrence, you need to unmute. There you go.
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
This is, thank you. This is a kalimba. I thought everybody would like to see it up close. There you go. And I'm just going to play you a little bit of this in the transition. Usually you play it with your fingers, but this is fun too.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Now, this second day of February, 2021, the 135th annual trek of Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, the prognosticator of all prognosticators, was awakened from his burrow at 7:25 a.m. by his handler and friend on this quiet morning where few can attend. In groundhog ease, Phil directed the president and the inner circle to his prediction scroll that reads, "It's a beautiful morning, this I can see, with all my fans viewing virtually, my faithful followers being safe and secure. Our tradition of Groundhog Day must endure. We have all passed through the darkness of night, but now see hope in morning's bright light. But now, when I turn to see, there's a perfect shadow cast of me. 6 more weeks of winter there will be." Yeah.
Today, let us celebrate Nirvana Day, or Pari Nirvana Day, the end of the cycle of re-death and rebirth, the day the Buddha reached enlightenment, which happened when he reached the age of 80 years old. Just before the Buddha died, he reminded people that after he was gone, his teachings would live on. He encouraged those grieving nearby him to practice the teachings. He reminded his followers that all things must change, that enlightenment is the Buddha. It was the Dharma, the truth we should follow, not the person. Buddhism teaches that a state of nirvana is achieved when one gets rid of every suffering and need. This holy day can be celebrated either by meditating or with a social festival with food and fellowship, Nirvana Day. I don't think the Super Bowl would serve as a Piri Nirvana celebration, except that it is a culmination of sorts, right? The winner, well, they have reached the pinnacle. The annual winter celebration in Durango is Snowdown. As I understand it, it's a way to bring joy and merriment to winter and the endurance of at least 6 more weeks. Sadly, this year, due to the pandemic, we've missed even that break from tedium. That whole last week of January into February went by with only memories of the past. We've been locked up for 11 months now, longer than any long winter, and the lack of even rituals of Snowdown is making our existential dread extremely apparent and painful. So what's with Groundhog Day? Well, it comes from Candlemas, a German Christian tradition, which itself originated, like so many of the Christian holy days, from the pagan holiday Imbolc. At Candlemas, the clergy blessed and distributed candles to people, acknowledging the long, cold German winters, incorporating a hedgehog to predict the length of winter. The tradition shifted to groundhogs when the Germans settled in Pennsylvania. Groundhogs are winter hibernators, but come out from their burrows early February to look for a mate before going underground again. My study group, called the Malibu Study Group, after the place where we used to meet, this beautiful retreat center set high up on the cliffside in Malibu. Well, we always have used Groundhog Day as the due date for our long papers. We who have been in hibernation from thinking about our need to connect with our intellectual responsibilities to read, write, reflect, and prepare for our study gathering that meets sometime in March. The groundhog, or Imbolc, reminds us to wake up. Some of us know firsthand that Pennsylvania winters are much more gloomy and grueling than the bluebird sky Colorado winters of our world. And yet, as much as I love snow and cold, the endless days of the coronavirus have made me feel the groans of Groundhog Day, another 6 weeks of isolation, another long winter before something warms up and lets us out. Since the time the film Groundhog Day became a classic, the day has become synonymous with one bleak, repeating day. The main character in the movie, played by Bill Murray, representing us, maybe, or perhaps a modern day Sisyphus, having to relive that day over and over again. when I think of Groundhog Day, I think, again, do it again, waking up for another monochrome day. To introduce or remind you of the premise of the film Groundhog Day, if you didn't see it last week when it was on an endless loop, the self-absorbed, cynical protagonist, Phil Connors, is a local TV weatherman from Pittsburgh with visions of a network gig. He is sent for the fourth year to Punxsutawney, this time with the lovely, generous Rita, who is a 19th century French poetry major and the producer, and they're accompanied by the driver and the cameraman, Larry. Clouds cover the slate sky in the opening credits, and while riding in the van to the small hamlet, Phil complains and brags that this will be the last time he's stuck with this story. He just wants to get it done. All goes as planned with the groundhog, until an evening blizzard turns the van that was headed back to Pittsburgh, turns it around back to Punxsutawney, and Phil returns to sleep at the bed and breakfast. He wakes up in the morning, finding himself on the day he just completed, then spending all his time doing anything he can to get himself out of it. First, he begins with self-indulgence, working on his pickup lines and eating as many donuts as he can possibly stuff down, and punching the insurance agent mid-downtown block. The world understands these frustrations. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the teacher writes, "Meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless."
Phil, over here. Where have you been? You're missing all the fun. Phil, you look terrible. What happened? Rough night?
Yeah.
Okay, campers, rise and shine. And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day.
This country's largest lake, Chapala, is located near the city of Guadalajara.
What is Mexico?
Leslie.
What is Mexico?
Correct.
Lakes and Rivers 400.
Seneca is the largest of these lakes in west central New York.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Jim.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers for 600. Yeah.
This South American lake drains into the smaller lake.
What is Titicaca?
In Bolivia. Jim.
What is Titicaca?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers for 1,000.
Milky colored from
what
glacial clay when entering Lake Geneva, this river is clear blue upon exiting. Jim.
What is the Rhone?
The Rhone. Good for $1,000. You are $500 off the lead right now.
Let's go to Inventors for 200.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off, waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Sound like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you. You got a problem with what I'm saying, Larry? Untie your tongue and you come out here and talk, huh? Am I upsetting you, princess? You know, you want a prediction about the weather. You're asking the wrong, Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's gonna be cold, it's gonna be gray, and it's gonna last you for the rest of your life. Then put your little hand in mine. Then put your little hand in mine.
There ain't no hill or mountain. Then put your
Phil moves on to self-destruction, kidnapping the groundhog and driving them both off a cliff. But of course, the clock flips over and it's 6 a.m. once again. Soon, Phil believes he is a god because he can make things happen. I make the weather, he says, still filled with hubris. Days and days later, he begins to care about the people around him, moving out of self, but still thinking he is a god. If he just helps out earlier, he believes he can prevent the homeless man from dying. Then he becomes free of death himself, and as we hear him reading Joyce Kilmer's lyric poem, "Only God Can Make a Tree." In the myth of Sisyphus, philosopher Albert Camus asks the questions that Phil comes to consider. What can a meaning outside my condition mean to me? I can understand only in human terms. What I touch, what resists me, that is what I understand. And these two certainties, my appetite for the absolute and for unity, and the impossibility of reducing this world to a rational and reasonable principle, I also know that I cannot reconcile them. What other truth can I admit without lying, without bringing in a hope which I lack and which means nothing within the limits of my condition?
When Chekhov saw the long winter, he saw a winter bleak and dark and bereft of hope. Yet we know that winter is just another step in the cycle of life. But standing here among the people of Punxsutawney and basking in the warmth of their hearths and hearts, I couldn't imagine a better fate than a long and lustrous winter. From Punxsutawney, it's Phil Connors. So long.
Nice speech, Phil. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thanks. How was that for you two?
Hey, man, you touched me.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
You're still muted.
Let's try it again. Realizing he cannot conquer death, Phil lives day upon day in his time loop, becoming a proficient pianist, a sculptor, reading every book on the shelf. And what the film doesn't tell us, but the writer does, is that he has lived a lifetime, or what the director of the film has compromised to maybe be about 10 years or so, finally coming to the dharma of selflessness. He is no longer focusing on himself, but what he can do to help others. Then, when he lets go and lives in the moment.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe. They say our love won't pay the rent, for it's earned, our money's up.
Oh, please, not again.
That is a great song.
No, it's not.
Don't listen to this man.
It's too early. Oh.
Something is different.
Good or bad?
Anything different is good. But this could be real good. Why are you here?
I bought you. I own you.
But why are you still here?
You said stay, so I stayed.
I said stay, so you stayed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even make a call. He stay. I gotta check some. Oh, stay. Stay.
They're gone!
They're all gone. Do you know what today is?
Know what?
Today is tomorrow. It happened. You're here.
I'm here. Oh, Phil, why weren't you like this last night? You just fell asleep.
It was the end of a very long day. Is there anything I can do for you today?
I'm sure I could think of something.
Then, when he lets go and lives in the moment with appreciation, a new day arrives. Groundhog Day is behind us. We celebrate parinirvana, even though we ourselves are not quite enlightened. We celebrate the values, the practice, the teachings, the efforts made. I am nowhere near the end of the time loop. I am still caught most days in a frustration of wanting to be outside the virus's reactions. And yet there are moments of breaking through all of what we've learned together, of finding a contentment that has come from focusing deeply on something, developing an appreciation of my surroundings and view, like Monet's repeated painting of the same scene at different times of day. The connections made through technology that will inform how we might do things differently when we are able to come together again. And a learning of limits that even though it may feel as though there are endless hours, rest and sleep are needed now more than ever. Buddhist teacher and UU minister James Ishmael Ford wrote in the UU World magazine about the relationship of Unitarian Universalism and Buddhism. He quotes another UU, the Reverend Edward Erickson, who interprets the startling Buddhist proverb, "If you meet the Buddha on the highway, kill him." Erickson writes, "The harsh maxim drives home a great truth. No holy prophet, Messiah, Christ, avatar, or even a great God in heaven can do your spiritual or ethical task for you. Free yourself, be a lamp unto your own salvation." We are grieving through loss, the loss of loved ones, of what we might have been, of what might have been, grieving lost financial security, and finding deeper realizations of the racial disparities of who lives and who dies, who receives the vaccine. The lessons we might take away will be available to us years from now, when we'll better be able to see how we've been changed. Camus tells us, one must imagine Sisyphus happy. So, until we are together again, know that I love you. Amen. Amin. Ashe. Blessed be.
If I send this void away, have I lost a part of me? When you wake your bargaining for the promise to come back, 'cause getting made you want more, and hoping made you hurt. heart more. Oh, there must be something wrong with me, 'cause getting made you want more, and hoping made you hurt more. Someone tell me something comforting. You're tied by the tooth. Wasn't it meant to relieve you? So suffer the signs that you needed to change. Heed all the ways you'd been thinking. 'Cause getting made you want more, and hoping made you hurt more. Oh, there must be something wrong with me, 'cause getting made you want more, and hoping made you hurt more. Someone tell me something comforting.
Thank you, Lawrence. As we begin our offering, a reminder, there are three ways that you can make a donation. First is by check in the regular way, put it in the mail. You can go on our website, or the easiest way I find is just by texting. And all that information is in the chat line so that you can figure out how to do it the best way for you. And remember that today is our Share the Plate collection, and is divided equally among the three main food support organizations in Durango, one of which you heard from earlier. If you use the send in the check method, please designate Share the Plate in the comment section. Text donations will go automatically to Share the Plate unless otherwise you designate in the text. The offering words today are by Christian Smith. In his 2014 book, The Paradox of Generosity, giving we receive, grasping we lose. He said, rather than leaving generous people on the short end of an unequal bargain, practices of generosity are actually likely instead to produce generous givers with essential goods in life, happiness, health, and purpose, which money and time themselves simply cannot buy. That's an empirical fact well worth knowing. We see this truth in action in our congregation. We can imagine, looking back almost a year ago, making as the ushers walk the aisles, giving us the basket to pass among ourselves as we give generously to support our beloved community and our work in this world, and today specifically for food for those who need it. In doing so, we experience the joy and satisfaction of a stronger sense of purpose in life and significance. Your gifts are received with gratitude.
Singer-songwriter Peter Mayer was himself a UU, or is a UU, and he wrote the beautiful lyrics of Blue Boat Home using the familiar hymn tune, Heyerdahl. In the words of Unitarian minister and writer Kimberly Davis, Mayer captures the transcending mystery and wonder of our first source and the amazing planetary grounding of our seventh principle, along with mysticism and humanism and gratitude. Tom Miller, Graham Smith, Anna Poole, and I will lead the song accompanied by Marilyn Garst. The words will be on the screen, so please sing with us.
We will go ahead and extinguish our chalice, and if you have one lit at home, I invite you to do the same. The words for sending us out come from African American theologian, civil rights leader, Beacon Press author, Howard Thurman. The concern which I lay bare before God today is my need to be better, Howard Thurman says. I want to be better than I am in my most ordinary day-by-day contacts, with my friends, with my family, with my casual contacts, with my business relations, with my associates in work and play. I want to be better than I am in the responsibilities that are mine. I am conscious of many petty resentments. I am conscious of increasing hostility toward certain people. I am conscious of the effort to be pleasing for effect, not because it is a genuine feeling on my part. I am conscious, Howard Thurman continues, of a tendency to shift to other shoulders burdens that are clearly my own. I want to be better in the quality of my religious experience. I want to develop an honest and clear prayer life. I want to develop a sensitiveness to the will of God in my own life. I want to develop a charitableness toward my fellows that is greater even than my most exaggerated pretensions. I want to be better than I am. I lay bare this need and this desire before God in the quietness of this moment. May it be so. Go in peace. Amen.